It's really good to be with you this evening, so sharing with you the Bible and what God has been teaching us through everything that He has been given to the Word of God. So I want you to turn into Psalm 143. So we already read it. We're not going to read it again. And they already prayed, so we are asking God to continue blessing us at the time that we just opened the Bible. Every time that I come like into this psalm, I like the psalms a lot, and I like everything that needs to deal with this. So every time I come to States, I always love one piece of it. And everything starts when I go to a restaurant. Every time I just go to a restaurant, I always order a Coke. And what I really love from that part is that you can get refills. So when you just go to a restaurant and then you say, I want a Coke, so the person just come and bring you one, and you start, and I always go and drink the first one really fast. First one. And you just suddenly see the raise like that in your hand or whatever, the guy just see you, and then that person will come and take the glass and just go without you saying anything. Just come with a second one. And then for me, that is like, oh, I can drink a second one. So then I said, I will have the second one, and before they bring everything, I just go into the third one. And everything of that is covered by the first page. And I'm like, this is really good. You know, you just only need to raise your hand, or you just only need to drink it, and here it is, the other refill of your Coke. But the problem with that is that, for me, I live in Cuba, and every time I'm reading through the Bible, sometimes I just go and I see, this passage is like Psalm 143, and I see David, the way that he approaches God. And the problem is that so many times we approach God, or we go to Him in the same way that we just order a Coke. So sometimes we just only go and we think that we can just go in front of God and say, hey, I need an extra Coke. And He will be just there to do whatever we want by our own desire. And sometimes when I come here, I like that, you know, just go to the restaurant, drink the first one, and there's the second one. And probably many of you like that same way. But the problem is that David is not thinking in the same way that when we approach God, when we go to God, it's not the same way that we order a Coke. And for us in Cuba, every time we just go into the Psalms and we start looking the way that David starts, like Psalm 140, 141, 142, 143, we go and we see the same way that he just goes to God. And the first one, he just goes like, I cry to you, I tell you. But the best part in Psalm 143 is the way that he starts is, hear my prayer, O Lord. In the other one, he has been just saying, I cry to you. I'm telling you everything of this. But on this one, he's just saying, like, please hear my prayer. It seems like he's like alone. He's just putting the hand up and then the other coat, nobody paying attention to him. And when you feel like that, then inside of you is like, what's happening? What's wrong with this? Are they going to come for an extra coat or not? And sometimes we just go like that. David is here saying, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. So for him then it's like, well, I'm not at a restaurant. I'm not ordering Coke. I'm talking to God. So he, first of all, is teaching us who are we dealing with every time that we just go to talk to God. And sometimes we forget about that. And many persons, when they are trying to pray, or when they are trying just to go to God, they don't know who are they talking to. But they forget who is that person that he's just going to pray or just doing a supplication for him. And he's just going and teaching us the first part of everything of this psalm is just telling us who is he just going to talk to, how to approach God. And we can divide this psalm in many ways, and we're just going to divide it in six parts. We're going to be talking like verses 1 and 2 is about the righteousness of God. The second part, 3 and 4, the necessity that David is having there. Verses 5 and 6 is about the hope that he has of having communion. 7 and 8 is about the way, how urgent is him on the way that he's asking. Verses 9 and 10 is about el compromiso con Dios. Sorry if I just asked my dad for some words.
Commitment with God.
And verses 11 and 12 is about the justice of God. And every time you just go and you start making all of these outlines, all of this salt is talking about who is God. And sometimes when we just go and we say, well, this is a prayer. Okay, this salt is a prayer. David is praying, but he's just giving us telling us who is he praying to. And then that's why he's just going to keep telling us everything, and he's really organized this psalm, and I really like it. And because he's always telling us that the way that we move in on the earth, the way that we just have a normal life here in our life, is not the same way that we need to go to God. And sometimes we just confuse that. And we just only see people that when they have a need, in Cuba, some people, when I was a little kid, I was always taught, you just go to the test, get the test, put it in front of you. Probably you are homeschooled, so I don't know how you do it. But in Cuba, we get the test, we put it in front of us, and for me, it was like, I just need to pray, and God is going to put everything in my hand. Sometimes I just got there, never studied, put in front of me, Father, I need to pass the test. I open my eyes and nothing come to me. Why? No, because I didn't know how to go to God. That was not the right way just to go to Him. And so that's why David is going to show us here, first of all, who is God? Who are we talking to? What's the right way of just going to God? So when we go verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me. First of all, he's going to talk now about what is at the point that God is faithful. And it is going to describe God. But we go into that and we say, well, he is faithful and he's always going to be with us. He has promised to be with us forever. Okay, but it's not under our condition. It's not in the way that we are going to say, well, he's going to be with me on this side or on this way. It's because he is God and he's going to be with me and he's going to do everything that he wants me to do. And then he continues and says, and if your righteousness. It is not about us. We're not the ones who are doing everything good. He doesn't need to come to me and give me the test in math just because, I'm Hadnian. No, it's not because of me. God is going to be there. He has been telling us, I'm going to be always with you, but it is not because of me. It's because of God. It's because who he is. And all the Psalms have been telling us, and all the Old Testament has been telling us who God was and what he was going to be doing always with his people. And that's why David starts here saying like that. He's just putting us in a way that you need to know who is God, first of all. Second, you need to know his attributes. And when you start knowing God, and when you start knowing what he has promised to do and everything like that, then you will know his answer. And his answers are not going to be always the way that we want him to answer us. And many of the problems that I just need him to give me the math test. That's not the way that God works. Sometimes, I'm in Cuba. Sometimes we just pray God, I need you to open the Red Sea again. And many persons are that's something that we would like to see. But that's not the way that God will work, or that's not the way that he has promised us that he's going to be working in our lives. So David is here praying, and he starts telling us who God is, and on the way that he's going to be with us. Verse number 2. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. He's saying here, don't come to see me. All of this problem is not about me. Because if everything's about me, nobody can stand in front of you. But I'm coming to you because you are, and then he refers back to verse number 1. And he goes and says, because you are faithful and you are righteous. He's just reminding us and for himself, and when he was writing about this, and he keeps telling himself, well, all of this, I'm just asking you, please listen your prayer, listen my prayer, but it's not about me, and it's not because of me. It's because you are the one who are faithful and righteous. Mm-hmm. So then we can enter in the second part about the necessity that he has. Now he's saying all of this, you know, I'm coming to you because you are these are your attributes. Then now he's coming because this is my necessity. Then he comes and says, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. How many of us have not faced this part in our lives? Many of us have been just going into bad situations and our hearts sometimes are like, God, where you are? I need your help. I'm feeling like alone. I'm feeling in the middle of all of this alone. And this psalm is like more for me and than probably for many of you. But many of us, just in many times, we feel like we are alone in the middle of the battle. Even with our families. In the middle of the COVID when everybody was like, no work. No money for the families. And I know that's not a problem just in Cuba. That's a regular problem for many of us in our normal life. Our kids asking for something that we cannot give to them. And we're like, I don't know what to do right now. Many bills come into our houses. And we just want God to come and act like this. But the problem is that he's not acting like that because of us, because we are not the center of the world. But it's because of him. And when we just have any need or something, we just need to know that we are coming to God who said that he is going to be with us forever, but it's not just to plead us in whatever we want. But it's because he is faithful and he is righteous. And then verse 4, therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. How many of us have not feel like that? How many of us have, at a certain time in our life, we have been feeling like we are alone? We are like nobody cares about us. This was the way for David. And many times when we go and we see many of these psalms, something that really comes to my head is, the one who is writing all of these psalms is a person who was in big battles. A person who was claimed by many people saying, you know, somebody killed Saul? He killed many others and here is David that killed more. So he's more famous. He's more like the great person. Everybody was claiming him. Oh, this is our king. Oh, this is the person. And when you see a person like that, just saying, I need you, please hear my prayer. And that brings it to us, we're not David. We cannot be just compared to him. We are just little persons in a big, big world. And here is David that was something big, a king, everything of that, chosen by God. He has the heart as God wants him to have it. And he's just saying, look how terrible I'm feeling. And on this world that we're today walking and just looking, many of us have been just on this kind of situation really common. And this is the reality that he's just going and saying, and this verse number 3, we can see the same thing in Lamentation 3:6, where many of the same problems have been shown there. Necessity, desperation, people are just suffering and having all kind of situation. That's like the world for many of us today. We don't know where this world is going to end. We don't know what is going to happen. And many times for many of us it's like we're going into something really complicated in our lives. But here is David. And I always have that in mind. Here is David, the big king. Praying to God. So for me today, then I need just to go and say, if David was praying to God, I need to do the same thing. But I cannot come to God on the same way I will go and ask for my coat. Because David was not doing that. And David started his soul just putting us in a place where he was telling us, you need to be careful how you come to God. And you need to know his attributes. And many of the times we just think that God is something really beautiful, and God is this and God is that, but we don't know really well all the attributes of God. And that has a big impact in our life if we do not know who we are talking with. And that has many applications in our life today. And that deals with, like, sometimes when we need a medicine, we need to know who we need to go to ask for the medicine. And many persons sometimes in Cuba, because we have like everything in one, we just go to a place and we will ask for a medicine, and we are trying to get like everything around the medicine in our hospitals. For you, it's a little more different. You need to go here, you need to go there, you need to go there, you need to go to another place. And you need to know that every time you get to a different person, one of those different persons, you need to have in your head, like, this person can help me on this paper, this other can help me on this paper, and this other person can help me on this. That's the same way with God. We need to know that when we come to God, we're coming to a God that has different attributes. But not those attributes are not because of me, but it's placed on Him. Who He is, what He is just telling that He is going to do for us. So He gave us the necessity that He's having. Now we're going into verses 5 and 6. And it's about His desire of communion. Now he's saying, I remember the days of old, I meditate on your words. Now he's going to start telling us that he remembers. Something for us in Cuba is every time that two persons, and if they are old, is better. Every time they get together, the first thing that they are going to do is just always go, did you remember in 2010, did you remember about this? The other night we were with Larry, and we spent like 1 hour there, and everything was, did you remember? And did you remember? And did you remember? David is trying to do the same. David is trying to come to God and saying, you know, do you remember when we were in that battle? Do you remember when we were here? Do you remember the other thing that we did together? Do you remember when you were helping me on this? And sometimes it's really good for us just to start remembering everything that God has been doing for us. Amen. Because many times we forget everything that God has been doing for us. And sometimes we just come to Him and we start like, God, I need this from you. We're not getting any answer from Him at that moment. But then we need to start thinking what He has been doing for us in many other times. And in that way, we can see that He has been accomplished, that He said that He is faithful and that He is righteous to us. Because another way, if we don't see that God has been doing this or that to us, and we don't remember anything, then we're just going like, you see, you have never done anything for me. And sometimes that's the way that kids just come to us. And they will say, I need this. Well, I cannot do it now. You never do this for me. They forget really easy things that the parents and other people have been doing for them. And sometimes we forget everything that God has been doing for us. But David now goes and he starts saying, I remember the days of old. I meditate on your words. I muse on the words of your hands. When we start remembering everything that God has been doing for us, that's marvelous, everything. look just where we are today. And every time I just see myself coming to the States, I'm like, I don't know how God does that every time. Everything has been impossible. No people can travel. Everything is closed. Here we are, my dad and me. Who can only make that? Just God. And that's why I need to be careful on the way that I just go to God on prayer, and I don't go like, never God has been doing anything for me. Because He has done more than I deserve. Because everything is not about me, but is about God. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Here we can see how important and how David is putting to us the spatial revelation and the general revelation. He's just putting us an example to show how our lives can be and is compared, our spiritual life is compared with everything that we can see on the ground. When we were in Oregon and they were like, we need water a lot. And I was like, oh, you need water? Oh, yes. They took us to the mountain. That's terrible. They have fires and this and that and everything. And in Cuba, the ground opens like a lot. You can put your hand inside. Just imagine our lives. If we just don't remember everything that God has been doing good to us, how can our spirit can become? We can become angry to God. We can forget everything that He has been doing to us. So He's just going and saying, I meditate in God. I meditate in everything. On all the Old Testament is full of all the words of that God has been given, have done with Israel and all of them. Opened the Red Sea, bringing them out of Egypt. All the battles that David conquered. How the Israelites were coming into everything, becoming and going and doing, and we have been always looking the hand of God. And these people and David have been just knowing everything that God has been doing for him and for the people of God. So that's why he's just going and praying and teaching us, you need to be careful on the way you approach God, because He is faithful, He is righteous. So His attribute. Then he goes and he continues saying, but I need to go into the Bible. I need to know more about God. Because on the other way, I don't know who I'm praying to. And then I can get confused in at the time of praying, how I need to pray to God. Because I don't know then who I'm praying to. So then, we continue, and verses 5 and 6, it goes like, we need to have communion with God. We need just more than just doing this kind of thing. I need God to help me in all of these problems that I am in. Now then, verses 7 and 8, he's talking how urgently he needs God to help him. So answer me speedily, O Lord. If there's a person that knows something about speedily, it's us in Cuba. I get in a car. I rent it 3 days, as I said this morning. I need to go from Velasco to Havana. That's 12 hours. And 12 hours back, I do that three trips in 3 days. I know what is to go really fast. Because I know how the people in all these places, they need everything that we have for them. So it's like, hurry up, you need to go 150 kilometers per hour because this person needs the help. And when I was just preparing for this, it was like, I know what is to be asking God to be really fast. Because people have been me to be really fast in many things. We were in Dallas, we were in Portland coming into here to Dallas, Texas Airport, and our flight was canceled. And then I called him Vlad and he said, okay, we're going to put you in the trip next day. a flight next day, and you're going to get it like at 2 p.m. So then I called Matt, and I said, okay, we're just coming tomorrow. And he said, oh, we're going to lose everything there in that area, and we're going to miss this other thing. Please, come if you can do it today. For me, it was, well, I would like just to get an answer like that. So God, please help us in this. He was the only one who can make it possible. And here was the answer. He put us in a plane the whole night. We couldn't sleep, and that was because of man. We arrived the next morning, and we just went and did everything. That was an answer from God. And that's when we just talk to God and we say, we need this, but it's not because of us. It's because of who you are. You are the only one who can open doors. You are the only one who can do everything of this. But if we don't know who we are praying to, and we don't know that the communion that we need to have in with God, then we are lost in this world. So now he's going to tell us and saying, answer me spiritually, O Lord, my spirit falls. What is really bad is when we can just be like really happy outside, but our spirit is just coming down. And when we're coming down, our spirit is like, I don't want to be near the people of God. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to read the Bible. I just don't want to do anything. Because I'm getting like inside of my life, I'm getting like, I can continue living, I can continue doing everything, enjoying everything, but I'm like, I just don't want to be near anything of that. So, in the middle of that situation, here is David saying to God, please, O Lord, come and help me really, really fast. Do not hide your face from me. I remember, if we can just go to Genesis, we go into the garden that there was Adam. He got into sin, did everything of that, and he was trying to hide from God. There's God trying to get to them. Here they are, just hiding themselves around the garden and covering their body and everything. Here is God just trying to be with them. Here is man just going. And now David is just going like, please, don't run out of me. Don't just go really far from me. It is the reverse that we can see how people, when they start and we see everything that he has been saying, when the people are going into the Bible, reading the Bible, just going and see everything that God has been doing, all the communion, and he has been asking God, please, I need to have communion with you. Then we see that David is saying, please don't go far from me. The problem is that Adam was the one making everything just to get out of God. David now is trying to get in communion with God. And for us, when we feel like our spirit is like getting, the spirit is just falling apart, for us it's better just to try to go to God, trying to read the Bible, trying to go into all the mercy that he has been doing for us. Because on the other way, we are just going to try to get really far from God. And that's the thing that David is really like, I don't want to go into that. I don't want to get really far from you, O God. I'm the one who needs you. I'm the one who is asking you for all of this help. Lest I be those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. He's now saying, I need to hear every morning all the kindness that you have been doing. We need to hear God's word. Sometimes we just wake up in the morning, and we just want to start doing whatever we need to do without just going to check for God, just to go and see what he has been telling us. Many times, people just wake up, and the first thing that we want to do is just get our phone to see if somebody just called us in last night, or if somebody just sent us something. That's the way for us in Cuba. We are always waiting something. But sometimes we just forget that the first thing that we need to do is to come to God. Because He's the only one, because He is God, can do everything for us. So He's just saying like, please, I need to hear you every morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me know the way in which I should walk. Tell me. And in the New Testament, one of the promises is that the Holy Spirit is always going to be with us. And He's the one who is going to show us the way, all the way to Christ. And He has been working inside of us. So the only way for us to come to God is if we just get His special revelation. Start reading the Bible every morning, at every time. And we can just go and walk with God. And that's the way that the Holy Spirit is going to be working inside of us. Taking that word, and taking everything of that and making, and applying everything of that to our souls. Because if everything of that is not applied to us, then there's no way that we just want to come to God. So it needs to be the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us to bring us to God. Coming to know the way in which I should walk. That's when we always talk about the Ten Commandments and everything in the Old Testament. That's how God wants us to walk. We just try sometimes to find our own way. And I don't know how to say it in English, but in Spanish we have many small things that we use. As one is like, don't leave a big road for getting into a spot, something like that. So sometimes in Cuba, because we are working on or going in a bicycle, sometimes in a road to a place, you go by 5 kilometers, but some people tell you like, go here inside and get here at the other place and everything like that, and then it will be 3 kilometers. Sometimes when you just get in there, because we are going in bicycle, then you get a flat tire, and then you need to carry your bicycle walking, and then you end everything, doing everything like 10 times. And then you say, but I lose more just going inside of everything like that than just going on the main street. And that's the thing. We just want God, we just want the Holy Spirit to guide us through the work. Through the Word of God that is shown us in the Bible. For I lift up my soul to you. Now it's coming to the compromise with God. So now it's verses 9 and 10. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. This is one of the best part of everything of this psalm. The only way that we can be saved is if we just go under God's protection. In Him is in whom we just only have protection for our lives. We're in the middle of a world where everybody is just trying to attack our faith in Christ. Everything is just there. We are everything in the middle of this world. Everything is against God. Everything, all the schools are trying just to teach whatever they can to our kids. Everything is against God. But when we just go and we see that we can have a shelter in God, then we know that protection comes from God. Teach me to do your will. Let me know how I can do your will. I don't want to do everything that I want. I just want you to do everything you want me to do. For you are my God. Again, returns here and say, I want to do everything of this because who you are. So he's going to end the psalm on the same way he started. Everything is because of who God is, and is not because of who we are. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. He just went, and he's just asking, please, you take me, and you guide me into everything. He has been telling us, God is peace. You can find God in the scripture. Just the Holy Spirit is the only one who is going to teach you how to get into that place. And now he's just saying, because you are God. Verses 11 and 12 is just talking about the righteousness of God. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. He's just go again here and say, everything is because of you. It's not because of me. I'm just asking God all of this, but it's not because who I am, but it's because who God is. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Verse 12, in your mercy, cut off my enemies. This part is something that for many people will sound like, when we talk about the imprecatory, that's imprecatory psalms, many persons just don't like those psalms. Kill them, get them, put them here, kill everybody. They will go like, oh no, we cannot pray like that. But a good part, knowing and just praying the imprecatory psalms, is because all those psalms, what they are showing is that Christ is the only one who can conquer everything that we're facing. And every time we just go like, kill, get, do this, do that, what we are saying is, he's the only one who went to the cross and fulfilled everything that was promised. And everything is just in God's hands. So, there's no better way for David to finish this psalm. Just saying everything of that, and at the end of everything, he's just saying, pray like this. Just go to God knowing that he's the only one who can make justice. He's the only one who can do everything that we need. And just pray in purgatory psalms. Just go and say, you, kill them, do this, do that. Because he's the only one who can do everything of that. By just going, when he got into the cross and he fulfilled everything and he defeated death, is that the right way of saying? He defeated death and he conquers everything. That's the result of all the work of Christ. And when we know who are we praying to, and when we know how to approach God on the way because who he is and not because of us, then we know how all of this psalm is getting sense for us. And destroy all those who afflict my soul. And finish with an excellent part. For I am your servant. When we just come to God, is for God to do everything to us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And we are just servants of the Lord. We are just there to please God. We're not there just to tell God what to do or what not to do. But we are just coming to him. Because he is the only one who can do everything for us. And we are just coming to him because we are servants. And sometimes we come to God thinking that we are like the manager. I have the word in Spanish here. I don't know how to say it in English. We're kind of like we are the ones who need to tell God what to do and not on the reverse way. And I really like this verse. And I think that I will continue coming to the restaurants and drinking my 4 glasses of Coke. But every time I know and every time I have a need, or every time I just need to go to God in prayer, I need to know that I cannot come to God in the same way that I will order a Coke. Because of who God is, I cannot just go like that. And I just want to share this psalm with you this evening. And just put this in front of you just for you to know how important it is to know who God is. And you can make many applications of this to your life. At every moment, every circumstance, just go and pray to God and come in front of Him. Not because who we are, but because who God is.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we come in front of your presence, asking you for mercy and recognizing who you are. We are recognizing all your attributes and everything you have done for us always. Help us through the Holy Spirit to come to you in a way that we recognize how sinful we are and the necessity that we have of you. Let us remember always every good that you have been doing to us and everything that you have been doing to your people in all the Bible. So we pray to you, asking for giving knowledge to us of who you are and help us understand everything of that. In Jesus' name.